All right. Hopefully
Okay.
that works
Do
then.
we have any public comments, or do we want to introduce ourselves first? I think.
You guys can introduce yourselves first.
Okay, I'm John Skirbellis, Director of Rubidoux Community Services District.
I'm Hank Trela, Director of Rubidoux Community Services District.
Michael Heffin with Burtek Waste Industries.
Rick Melendez with Burtek Waste Industries.
And I'm Brian Lattisell, General Manager of Rubidoux.
Okay, and do we have any public comments? Nobody in the queue? Well, let's move on then. All right, let's put the glasses on. Okay, review the draft cost allocation for solid waste collection disposal submitted by Burtek Waste Industries.
Okay, I'll do a little bit of background or lead in, and then Michael will probably segue it over to you. So, I guess this iteration, the trash committee, you guys have been here before, so you're kind of familiar with the trash contract. I guess our original trash con, maybe not our original con trash contract, but our current trash contract with Burtek goes back to 2008. You may recall last year we did a pretty extensive overhaul with Amendment Number 3 that took effect July 1. I didn't regurgitate all of Amendment 3, but the two pertinent things I wanted to include in the staff report were two things. One was the Section 3.2 change in cost of doing business. In the language in that amendment, there's a maximum 4.0% year-over-year increase in service costs based on the CPI, as published by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, rounded to two decimal places. And two, no more than 2% difference in the cost of the 90-gallon residential barrel compared to the city of Hoopa Valley. Historically, we've done single-year Prop 218s, at least in my 7 years. The trash industry has been pretty volatile in my 7 years, so we've done single-year. Usually this time every year, we kind of sit down with the trash committee and then Burtek representatives talk about rates for the upcoming fiscal year. So that's what this first trash committee is doing today. I have kind of the summary as proposed by Burtek, but I think at this point, Michael, I'll probably shift it over to you if you want to kind of just talk about where the industry is at, where your guys' rates are at for, or the proposed rates for 26, 27 on the residential commercial side, and then we'll go from there.
Certainly. Thank you, Brian. And good morning, everyone. Appreciate being here this afternoon. Again, Michael Huffman with Burtek, and I'm with my associate, Mr. Rick Melendez. Today, we'll be talking about the proposed rate adjustment for the Rubidoux Community Services District for 26-27. And so, as Brian mentioned, the service components or the rate adjustment are based on components. So the first component being that of service, those are hauler fees. And that's based on the Riverside San Bernardino, Ontario CPI index per the contract rules. There is a 4% cap for that service index. And this year, through the rate adjustment period, the CPI, as it's called, the consumer price index, was 3.28%. And you can see that right there in that rate summary. And so that changes the rate or is adjusted by 60 cents on the hauler fees. So you'll see it was 1821. And now it is being proposed at 1881. Landfill tipping fee, that is trash. So those are pass-through costs, and they're based on the actual tonnage used and the tip fees at the disposal locations. You'll see there's a slight increase on landfill on the trash rate of 27 cents. And then for recycling, recycling is processing costs and material values. What we've seen in the industry over the years is material values have decreased over time, which is creating an increase in the cost along with processing. So, for example, cardboard, which is one of the biggest recovered items that we have in the blue containers, its pricing fell over the last year about 25%. And that's really based on supply and demand. And just right now, we're in one of those periods where the demand is down. And so supply is up. And so that
Cardboard
drives prices down.
is the number one, was at one time the number one export in the United States. China quit accepting cardboard, is that correct?
They did actually. What China did was they didn't want to not accept it, so they raised the contamination standards to an unachievable level. So it has to be 99.97% clean
Where
now.
does it go now?
So now we send material. A lot of it is domestic. We have a lot of domestic resources that we use that will remake it, repulp it, and they'll turn it into a new cardboard product. But if it does go overseas, it goes to the Pacific Rim countries, could be South Korea, it could be in Malaysia, some goes to Canada, some to Mexico.
Wow.
So we do send it kind of
So
throughout the world.
it does have an outlet somewhat.
It does.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
then with COVID, we saw that big spike because everybody was at home, and then people, customers began using Amazon. And so there was a huge demand for cardboard because things were getting shipped directly to the house because of all the stay-at-home orders. And so we saw a rise, but since then it's been on a steady decline. So we haven't quite seen that level come back yet.
Okay.
But we monitor it closely. And then with mixed organics, especially on the residential side, that's your bagged food waste program that's required by Senate Bill 1383. As you can see, that change is 76 cents this year and is the highest level of change. And that's not only because the slight price increase, but there's more participation. So as we're getting more word out on the street, as we are education and outreach by both Vertec and the district is taking effect into the community, we're seeing more participation in the community. And then that also goes with, the amount of rainfall, the amount of organics. So what we're seeing is organics has increased, and we'll see in some detail if you'd like to look at that. But it's gone up by 2 pounds per house per month. So a significant increase in the amount of mixed organics. And then the 1383 administrative fees, those are the program costs for Senate Bill 1383. So those are the lid flips that we do, some education and outreach that we do. Food waste pails have been distributed. That was part of the grant funds through the district some time ago. And so this year, with all those components placed together, we're looking at a rate of $40.65 or a $1.73 increase, which is 4.45%. And if you look in your packets, what you have, the first attachment is your proposed rate adjustments. So a couple of pages in, if you look right past the signature page, it'll be attachment one. And then these are your actual rates. Yep. So you will see the current. The first one is the 90-gallon size.
Thank you.
That 90-gallon size is the most common size in the district and is the one that is mandated through our contract requirements to not exceed the HRUPA Valley rate. And we're anticipating the HRUPA Valley rate to be 4081 this year. So you can see, the district's rate will be approximately 16 cents beneath it, and that's where the 0.39% reduction, or less than the HRUPA Valley rate, comes from. And then you'll see if you just look down the 60-gallon size, this is a full copy of the rates of every component that's out there. If you'll flip the page, you'll see there will be commercial barrel service and commercial multifamily bin services and the rate increases associated with them. For example, two-thirds down the page is the commercial multifamily trash bin, 3 yard, one time a week. That is increasing about $4 right there. So it goes from 192.63 to 196.82. That's your most common bin size out in the field. Then on the next page is the recyclables. And then you have green waste bins as well. So you'll have commingled recyclables and then green waste and their corresponding rates. The next page is food waste. And what I'd like to point out is livestock waste. So this is a new category we're proposing to add in. And those are for the properties that may have animals. So for livestock out there, and it's just a way for them to be able to target and separate manure from livestock animals. So they'll be able to use that. And we have labeling that's associated with it. The bins are actually colored maroon for livestock waste. So, and they have decals indicating what's allowed in there and what's not for 1383
Where were they
regulations.
putting the manure in? Just the trash or?
Sometimes it goes in the trash and sometimes the green. More often than not, though, we see it going in the trash. And so we want to get that moved over into the
But
proper organic.
most of those are the bins, right?
It is correct.
Yeah, they don't.
And so we do have bin sizes available because if you have larger animals in
Yeah.
stock, sometimes the bin's going to be required. Plus, we have multiple frequencies. So you may have a customer that may want service 3 times a week with a bin. So there's no problem with that. We're able to accommodate
Okay.
that. And in our 2 yard bins, we have them lined with a plastic liner. And it helps maintain longevity on the bin, keep costs down. So that way there's no rust, things like that from the organics. But that is a new component that's that we're looking to have out there, new service available to the residents on livestock was.
When will that be incorporated?
This would be effective July 1 and would be available with the approval of the rates. And then if you flip that over, is all the details. So there's a number of pages, but I would just like to draw your attention to the first one, which is residential. And I think this is the residential 90-gallon service and 60-gallon service. And so it shows a look at where we're currently at versus where we're going to. And if you look to the right side, it'll say July 1, 2026 proposed components. And you can see right up there at the top are the difference in pounds per week on refuse. There's a slight drop in pounds per week for refuse for the 60 gallon. And this is right here up at the top written. And then recycling the pounds per week, and then organics. And you can see that organics went from 29.2 pounds to 31.1 pounds per week. So that is just literally more utilization of the organics container, which is great. That's 1383's mandate and what's required. And then the formulas break it down. So if you look at just beneath it, the CPI is 3.28%. As we mentioned, the 1383 admin fee component, and then you have the three disposal components. So you have your landfill, your recycling, your mixed organics, the city's admin fees, and the total rate being 4065 for the year versus the 3892.
Michael, on the left-hand side, that negative $2.11.
Yes,
Can you
sir.
explain that?
Yes. So if you recall, when we did the amendment, that was the program fee that was associated to true up the rates to the Heruba Valley, because the district had slightly elevated above Heruba Valley. And so there hadn't been a rate increase since 2023. And so when we trued it up last year through the Solid Waste Committee and at the board's direction with the amendment, it was $2.11 that was reduced for that program fee. And that's what got us equal to the Harupa Valley rate last year. That's where the total rate of 38.92 came into effect. We had to reduce costs by $2.11.
What's Hooper Valley's current rate? It's the same. It's a 38.92, right?
Yes.
Okay. What happens if they don't go forward with their rate increase?
So if they don't, we'll make sure that we stay within the 2% requirement of the
I mean, that's where it
amendment.
becomes complicated because these have to run parallel path, right? Okay. I don't know if they're ahead of the game or if they're behind where we're at going, where we're at today.
Well, rates are equal today, so they're
Okay.
both 38.92, and they're projected to be slightly above the districts this year.
Understood. But if they have the same Prop 218 requirements that we have, I mean, they got to start this process like now,
Correct.
right? Similar to us.
They do.
Okay. And we don't have any indication if Hoopa Valley started.
I know we've I believe we've presented the rates, the
Okay.
initial to them. So we're in the same process essentially. So that's how I know this number has already been the proposed number because we're moving along at the same pace. But again, these are maximum rates that would be approved by the board.
These are okay. I gotcha. These would be maximum rates. So if we issue the Prop 218 at, let's just say this number, and then Harupa Valley does not go forward with their rate increase,
We can make
it
any necessary adjustments because it would need to be reduced. So,
understood. Okay.
yep. So this, what the Solid Waste Committee here and the board would ultimately do is the maximum rate of 4065. So to your point, if it stayed at 3892 in Harupa, and if that was more than 2%, we could reduce it to make sure that we stay within line with the contract.
What so for the committee members, you guys probably recall how this works, but just in case you forgot, if we do the Prop 218, let's just say in April, right? To Michael's point, that's the max notice rate. But what the board still has to do is usually the second meeting of June, you guys adopt a resolution that essentially makes the rates effective. So even if we did a Prop 218 in April to do the max notice rates and Hoover Valley does not go forward with their rates, then that resolution in June looks a little bit different.
Right.
That's how that would work.
Okay. Yeah, we would make that adjustment. But it would still meet the 218 requirements because it would be less than the presented rate to the residents.
Does the county sets the tipping fees?
Yes, the landfill
yeah.
district.
And we use Badlands, Lambs Canyon, Badlands, that's all. Or no, where you guys use El Sobrante. And that's county owned?
No, that's private.
That
but
is
it's
private.
In the county, subject to the rules.
Oh, okay.
And then we do use Badlands from time to time. It
yeah.
depends, especially on loads with higher moisture contents. So it just depends on the material type.
There's no more like offloading costs to the commercial side to keep residential as low as possible?
No, no. So now it's just the standard adjustment. And we could look at those if you like.
I mean, I think generally speaking, and I know we had a big, big reset last year, which we definitely appreciate. I know that our rate was getting, I don't want to use the word out of hand, but it was significant compared to the city. So I know there's a big reset last year, which we appreciate. But I think generally speaking, this trash committee and the board is more sensitive to the residential side, right? Understanding the math is the math, but if potentially there was a way to keep residential as low as mathematically possible and then shift that burden to the commercial side, I would imagine you guys would probably be open to that.
Yeah, I was, looking it over. That was something that's...
Is that what you discussed the last time? And not what you guys talked about?
No, last time was the whole...
Well, that helped. That helped to get this to where
we're at.
Right.
Was a lot of the shifting to the commercial side.
Is that acceptable?
Certainly. So.
Yeah, we just really... I personally feel a real need to try to do the most we can for the residential side.
Absolutely.
I mean, God, look at gas prices and everything. Well, you guys, preaching to the choir there, but really we are a disenfranchised community here. I like to do something for them.
Right.
Like to come away with some kind of a win, make me feel like we got something,
No, you don't want that, do you?
You know what I'm saying.
I do. I do. I understand that. And I'm sure we could look at it. I mean, the programs are built component based for each business sector that they're serviced. But, there are administrative fees and things like that that we could take a look at. And
we'd appreciate that.
Sure. Sure. Could definitely take a look and bring that up through the process. So if we're able to move forward, then that could easily be part of the discussion as we move forward.
The mixed organics, is that going to like stabilize here shortly, do you think? Or do you think that will still be volatile for a few years out as the SB 1383 stuff settles?
Yeah, because the program's still in its infancy, it's only been around a couple of years with the mixed food waste. Part of me thinks that we're not going to see a lot more of an increase on that side in the pounds per house, because who's throwing away a lot of food, right? It's getting expensive. To your point, I mean, it's a big part of household families' monthly income. But, we are seeing that material transition across it. And so hopefully things like the new manure for the livestock waste program, we'll see more of that material come across, but it'll just be for that line item in the livestock waste. So I think we'll still see some adjustments as the word gets out. There's more information presented. I mean, I'm hearing food waste ads on radios. I see them on the side buses now that the state's putting out. I was at the airport yesterday, and there's ads all over about recycle your food waste. So the word's getting out. And I think as the word gets out, I think we'll have a little bit of turbulence for the next couple of years. So we'll see that, because it is one of the more expensive processing items as well. So
I mean,
more weight.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think more people are cooking at home now than eating out. I mean, my God, Jack in the Box is $20 an hour.
I admit that's for a kid's meal.
Yeah,
that's per person.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
Oh, it is.
And just, I don't know if this
sticker shock as well.
I just want to point something else out, Michael. I don't know if this helps or hurt our cause, but if you look at the food waste rates, 65 gallon.
Right.
Frequencies 2 through 6, the price has not changed. The food waste stuff.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so there is some stabilization.
Okay.
And
Sorry.
so,
But not an oversight there.
no, it's
Okay.
not. And actually, that's a great point for that. And it really speaks to what we're talking about. So with the development and the implementation of 1383, so this is your food waste page. So you'll find it.
Number six at the bottom,
Oh, there you
to the
go.
bottom right. Six food waste
Oh.
dandelion.
How did I get
If
myself lost in space here?
look at the bottom right-hand part.
Yeah, I'm looking at
Okay.
the.
So that's 1A.
Yeah.
You
Oh, there we
got
go. Well, I
a
was way off.
ways to go toward the back.
What I was saying is, if you look at the 65, this is the same as this.
Okay. We try and keep these packets to like 20 pages or less. Sorry about that. There's quite a bit of material.
ARG did an A that captures all these costs that go to our resolution. It's just growing. I like to
It
keep everything like on one page just because it's easier for people to understand, but
Right.
it's been difficult.
So that's an excellent point that you bring up, and it really speaks to the turbulence of new programs. So when 1383 was adopted and implemented, it requires that all customers, and these are commercial customers in the food waste program, that all customers are required to have the service unless they're issued a waiver. So as we developed the programs, we had to wait and see who was going to be issued a waiver and who has utilization. Are we really throwing away 2 yards, like a bin size of material, or are we throwing away our barrel? So what you see there is a reflection of the last 2 years of program implementation. And so to keep rates stable at no cost increase or decrease, those categories are used there to adjust it because every year we true up. So we predict how many containers are out in the field, and then we true it up. And if a credit is required, the credit is provided back to the customers that use food waste services. And so to Brian's point, their rates are not really changing that much because of the stabilization fee. And so we use that to just make sure that we make those adjustments because we're trying to predict how much is being used. And then we expect this to go away in a year or two. It should be gone because we're getting through that turbulent period. So at first it was a large pool and then it was adjusted and then the pool got smaller, it got adjusted. And so to stabilize that rate from these crazy ups and down swings, we put in those component columns in there.
Okay. The 1383, were there any components to that legislation that have like a delayed effective date, or is it like basically all effective?
It's all effective now. There was an initial ability for jurisdictions to delay implementation due to COVID. So it allowed everybody to be put on what was called a CAP compliance action plan. And so it lets you phase in implementation over a 14 or 15 month period. But those are all exhausted.
And
We're
then,
actually being reviewed by the compliance authorities now.
yeah, and not to get off topic here, but our audit, all the stuff that we submitted, I mean, that's just in limbo.
It is.
Okay.
So the first cities that we were audited were in August of 24, and we're
Okay.
still waiting. So
We're still waiting.
yes.
It's almost 2 years.
So you're probably 18 months out, honestly,
That's
from what
actually,
we've seen.
that's fine by me.
Yeah. So and so with the process, so it's a jurisdictional compliance. So 1383 was such a large piece of legislation. What happened is CalRecycle created they took their support division, broke it in half, and made an enforcement division and a support division. And they expanded the enforcement division. So now we actually have audits being conducted in jurisdictions we service to include Rubidoux to determine that, yes, the programs are implemented. Yes, we're doing the education and outreach. Yes, residents have the ability to have organic service or food waste service out in the communities. Yes, edible food is happening with certain businesses that are required. And all those things that are required. So we have just begun our compliance evaluation here in the district not too long ago. And we've been doing these now for the since August of 24. That was the first one. And I still haven't had a result yet. So CalRecycle is a little behind. But there is a process to it. So they'll send us like a draft letter that says, this is where we think you may or may not be in compliance. Show us some records. Maybe it was an oversight and we didn't see them. And then we have time to produce any missing information and then they'll do a final report. I'm sure it'll be shared with the board. But
I
yeah,
mean, a
I
lot.
think that's a year or so out.
I think the one that it enhances or entices me to look at it is the livestock. You know, that's going to be a pain out here, don't you think?
Do we have a, I don't know if we have a lot of livestock on the Rubidoux side,
Oh,
do
well,
we?
no,
Yes.
on the
Maybe.
not so much. I don't think so much on our side, but the city, the
Sure.
Mira Loma area, Norco. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, it's Norco and
That's.
Arupa too, and in an effort to kind of mirror programs, it was kind of the theme, if you will, last year. Livestock waste is something that's in the city of Arupa Valley, so that's part of it as well. So that's, like I said, an added benefit, hopefully. And you know, if there's one or two, that's great. If nobody subscribes because they don't have the livestock, potentially we can look at that. And but it's there if need be on some of the larger parcels. So
This is geared more towards like horses and stuff,
it
right?
is,
Yeah, not like
yeah,
dogs.
livestock specific, correct? Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
not
not
pet
pets,
livestock. Yeah,
not pets. It's
I had a Great Dane years ago, and my God, that could load a barrel up, I'll tell
right.
you.
Even with that, it's more on food base. So it's because the manure from livestock, cattle, horses, I mean, they're eating hay and straw. And so that's great for the aerobic digestion process and for the composting. So it really helps. So which we'd love to get the board over to see, hopefully soon.
Yeah, that'd be item four. Talk about on nature.
But this is your packet, so good observation. Are there any other questions?
So I guess where we're at it, if Michael, if you can take a look at the way, see if there's something that can be shifted to the commercial side, and then let us know, and we can schedule another solid waste committee. But ideally, I mean, for this committee's consideration is the Prop 218 process is lengthy, right? So ideally I would want to start that in April and get those mailings issued to the customers, and then we'll stay in touch with, I guess, Birtech. And then if for whatever reason the city doesn't change their rate, then that obviously adjusts our rate too to
Is
keep
there
everything.
anything at all that can be done with the CPI? It'll catch a little break on that, or
No, not
I
with
know
CPI. I
that's
mean,
built into the.
it's the Consumer Price Index that's a national citing. So there are other CPIs that are used. LA is a popular one. It's like LA, Orange County, in that area. And then there's a National Garbage Index. They all vary.
No way.
There's a National Garbage Index, CPI,
There.
that goes nationally. So that one's higher than this more regional one. So the regional one's been selected. I think in the past it's been, I don't know if historically is the right word, but in the last 3 to 4 years it's been under the LA CPI. So but it does vary. They do change from time to time. But and it may give a 1 year reprieve, but it would revert back. You know, they're definitely in cycles on the change.
Okay. Well, anything you
But
guys can do to help out, appreciate it.
certainly, certainly. Yeah, we'll definitely take a look and see what we could do.
Okay. You said we'll schedule something when we hear
So,
back
if
from.
there's no other questions on item three, then we'll move on to item four. Oh, because there was a request to maybe tour the transfer station again,
Right.
and maybe item four would be an opportunity to talk about that. Committee member requests or comments and requests. There was, I think in January, there was, I know Director Leja and Altamirano that they never toured the transfer station before. So if that's something that is of interest, then that's something that we can schedule. The only issue where it becomes difficult is, the Brown Act and public law. If we were to do that and more than two board members were interested, then we'd have to do it over two different meetings.
I personally don't have to go, but I went to a science fair put on by one of the local schools, and these kids were amazing. And I was like a judge at the science fair, and there was these two kids that made this thing, to trash with the that could detect recyclables from. Anyway, these kids were pretty amazing, and I was When we talked about the tour, I thought it would be great, but I don't know because they're minors. Is that an issue to,
Minors is an issue. So they would
would
have
they
to,
need a chaperone or
they would have to stay in the conference room. They wouldn't be allowed
they
out.
wouldn't be allowed? Okay, then I won't pipe up on that one then. Yeah,
No, but
because I was going to ask the school if it would be okay for them to go, but that's what I figured, talk to you guys first, you
yeah,
know.
that wouldn't, like I said, they would only be able to be in the conference room, just not on the floor. But we do have a YouTube video on Vertex YouTube site that shows actually Agwemansa's Murph and
Yeah.
how our AI works, where we use optical sorters and AI to basically differentiate between trash and recyclable.
Were they seniors? Maybe they're 18.
Think they were seeing, I don't know.
I
Man, I
think
can't
someone
go
had it in
anymore these days.
someone in elementary school.
But they
Yeah,
were, these kids were spot on. I mean,
right.
this thing that they put together, well, I looked at that and I thought, man, these kids need to be involved in
Yeah.
kind of getting a break on seeing some of the how the
I
real world works, you know.
they'd enjoy our YouTube video. Really gives an overview of the Murph on the blue barrel material, and so it discusses the optics and the AI to some small extent. So they might be able to get something out of that and see
Yeah.
real world applications.
I
So.
mean, I'm pretty jaded with a lot of stuff. And I mean, when I saw what these kids were doing, how they put this together, I was kind of stopped in my tracks,
Yeah,
you know.
it's pretty
I think I
amazing.
know which ones you're talking about, but Yeah.
they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I can set up two separate meetings. I mean, obviously, it's at your guys' availability.
Well, I've seen them, but Director Leja and Altamano, if it's a Brown Act thing, I don't need to go. I went the last time. But
Well, then we'll coordinate, Michael.
sure.
That networks.
And two is okay too, and individuals whenever. So as we like to say, I'm at your disposal. So
The only reason I wanted to go a third time was those,
well, we do have
is there
the
anything new in the
there
last
is
2 years?
there is so
Okay.
we're actually getting ready to commission and open our bio separator. So that's where we're taking food waste, like packaged food waste that comes from grocery store, things like that, and we're putting it into a machine. It's automatic, belt fed, goes up into the hopper of this machine. And I like to think of it as like a industrial magic bullet, like a big mixer, like you make your smoothies at the house. It puts all this material in there. It hammer mills it on these hundred, thousands of revolutions per second or per minute rather. And it just pulverizes the material. And so that material now is separated from the plastic packaging it's in and some of the contamination it has, and it's pushed through a sieve. And just like a strainer or colander, just gets pushed right through it through the centrifugal force, and then it gets mixed with water, and it comes out as it looks like oatmeal, basically.
Wow.
So it's like a batter
They're
that
like
comes
little
out.
things. And what do
And
you do
yeah.
with that?
So with that, I wouldn't use it to make pancakes, that's for sure. That would
Silver
not be the
mixer.
right thing. But we send it off to anaerobic digesters, the Riverside wastewater treatment plant, and we power their anaerobic digesters. So
Really?
yes.
Riverside wastewater treatment plant.
That's it. So
Jeez.
they've had anaerobic digesters for years
That's the thing.
powering.
Yeah,
But
no, we.
when you add food waste into the digester, it's like nitro. It spikes
Really?
production and output. So
You gotta sell it to them, right?
well, we're in a grant with them. So it's a joint venture between us and City of Riverside, the wastewater treatment plant, as part of it. So, but this isn't the first time we've made that type of material. It's called cake, essentially. We make it up in our Victorville facility, and we make a slightly different type of it at our West Valley facility. So we've been feeding anaerobic digesters for quite a long time.
When does that get commissioned?
Next week.
Oh, wow.
So we're just going to be taking pictures next week and starting it. So tours are timely to see the new process, so, and to see the Thor as it is, the bioseparator in action. So even if we needed to have three meetings, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
You've been little talking to me for three times.
We can do we're driving tours, so we can do it as lengthy or in depth or not. So we, I guess, need to be conscientious of heat waves now. So
Yeah.
who'd have
Oh,
thought it's going to be
what
100
is
in
it?
March?
97 today?
Oh,
Yeah.
God, it was
Man,
terrible. The
I'm thinking
day
about
before yesterday.
I might just jump in the
Well,
pool.
we did. We've been in
You
the pool
did?
every day.
Really?
We've been in
You
the
eating
pool
it?
every day. Yeah,
You
we eat it. We just take the edge. We knock the edge off for a while. But yeah, I mean, I have my shop up in back, so I'll work a bit. And when I just can't deal with it anymore, I'll take a
How are you doing? Like,
I'm doing good. I'm
yeah,
doing
enjoying hanging out with this guy?
I love hanging out with this
Well,
guy.
I'll coordinate with the board with this new contraption, maybe that changes people's interest a little bit.
Yeah,
So,
that's neat.
yeah,
We
that is
could,
neat.
and if we need to do three tours, that's not a problem. We can accommodate that. So it's just scheduling, really. That's the
Where's
top.
it at? Just right up
It's
there.
at Agua Mansa at the Murph.
Oh, yeah, I've been there many times. Yeah.
Just now, right on the Greenway side is the bio separator. So in that facility, it's a metal building from the road, but once you get inside and take a look, it's quite interesting to see it in action.
I remember when the building was built and Robert T. Nelson was still alive. I went to the like christening thing or something years ago, you know. Yeah, that was a really guys really every I remember the first time I went by this where your facility is by the Speedway by the California. I was blown away by how huge that facility was. How neat that was. Well, I guess then that's it. We're meeting adjourned.